This is the PBT Podcast, the most comprehensive and entertaining 30 minutes on the NBA anywhere. From insights to interviews, we've got you covered. Here are your hosts, Pro Basketball Talk's Kurt Helin and Eitan Shander.
We welcome you back into another edition of the PBT Podcast alongside Kurt Helin, ProBasketballTalk.NBCSports.com, Eitan Shander, and we've got a lot. And off-the-court news doesn't include Donald Sterling this time around, so I'm very happy about that, Kurt.
We all are.
That's right. Now, the bad news is that, personally, selfishly, I lose the opportunity to talk to Stan Van Gundy once a week. He goes to Detroit as the new head coach, director of player ops as well. Steve Kerr, the latest now, clearly taking advantage of the situation with Van Gundy, and the latest hire, he's the new head coach of the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, he was very far along with the Knicks. I mean, everybody around the league kind of thought this was a done deal. Van Gundy was far along with Golden State. Van Gundy, look, I can't blame him for this one. This is a great opportunity for him. He got the full Doc Rivers package. You get to coach. You get to be in charge of who's on the roster. You've got all player personnel decisions. And we'll pay you $7 million a year. And, I'd had Van Gundy had been on the podcast, and I'd talked to him a few times through things, and I was actually texting him and joking about him how he said he wasn't going to go anywhere cold. And like, you realize Detroit in winter.
Right.
But it's a great opportunity for him. It's a great spot. I mean, only a handful of guys, Popovich and Rivers and those kind of guys, have this power. For him to get that is huge, and he couldn't turn that down. Golden State had two guys at the top of their list, Kerr and Van Gundy, and there was no good plan, third option. Kerr, they were able to woo. They gave him more money. They gave him more years, most importantly, 5 years instead of four. At $5 million a year, it was really about that extra year, plus better roster, and he's on the West Coast. And that was enough to sway him and get him to take it. And that leaves the Knicks hanging. They didn't really have a good plan B.
No, and it's interesting to see what Phil Jackson and the Knicks are going to do. And maybe it's just the reality of having a guy like Phil Jackson as your friend, but yes, Phil and Steve Kerr were linked as far as Kerr being a favorite for that job, but just being mentioned in that boosted Kerr's cachet up, and I'm sure the Warriors would still have him on his list, but it's hard for me to think that Kerr wouldn't be boosted up so much if there wasn't the interest that Phil and the Knicks expressed the first place to kind of drive his status up. Not to say that that was the initial plan. It just kind of worked out that way when Stan messed everything up and went to Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's, look, Kerr played this beautifully. He was patient. He had leverage the last day. He could get what he wanted in terms of years and money, and that worked out really well for him. It's a huge risk, by the way, for Golden State. I mean, they're pulling another guy out of the booth who has to win over a locker room that loved Mark Jackson. You've got another unproven coach who you're now demanding. He can't just win 51 games and make the second round of the playoffs. He's got to improve this team. They have to be, they're on the cusp of contending. They can't be on the cusp anymore. They've got to be a contender, for this really to be a success. That's asking a whole lot for your rookie coaching year.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? It's not even the issue I don't think people have with Kerr, the hire. Will Kerr succeed? We've seen first-year guys step in this year and do okay. I think you mentioned the biggest concern, and I don't know if it would have mattered who they brought in, pending if they were able to, pull Phil or Pop, anybody that you mentioned, the guys already established, maybe Stan, but still, even with Stan Van Gundy, the only question that people are going to have is what? Patience with ownership, right? That's the big deal. How patient are they going to be with this, anybody? And now it's Steve Kerr.
Yeah, and this has been a very hands-on, very impatient ownership group. I think this was something pushed for by the owner, so he'll probably, Joe Lacob or however he pronounces it.
That's fine with me.
he pushed for Kerr. This was one of his calls. So if that's, he get a couple years, but if they're not better in a couple years, and look, his track record as a GM anyway wasn't all that impressive. I don't know what to do, but this is part of the trend though now. I mean, you mentioned Jason Kidd. You see it with Kidd. You see it with Kerr. You see it with, I think, Brad Stevens to a degree. Mark Jackson was this way. If you can lead, if they believe you can get guys to fully buy in and believe, we can put the X's and O's guys around you. We can... we can work out the kinks. We need the leader. We need the guy who can get the guys to run through a wall for him, and that's what they're counting on Kerr being.
It's good. And who's the guy that steps in and backs Kerr, because you know that he's going to need some help? That's why I thought for Kerr specifically, and I get that there's the West Coast and that there's appeal and the family as well, but he had something in New York that nobody would have, and he doesn't have in Golden State, which is kind of Phil Jackson and that parachute to kind of fall back on a little bit. When you talk about Kerr putting the right people around Steve to kind of help him succeed, who better than to trust in Phil Jackson as opposed to this Warriors management team who just showed you what they think about a guy who, depending on what he can do X's and O's wise, was a hell of a motivator in Mark Jackson.
Exactly. I mean, Mark Jackson didn't get along with his boss, and that's what else ultimately did him in. And Kerr will at least be better there, but that's a heck of a mountain to climb, and I don't know who they're going to get. I mean, I heard rumors of them trying to pull Alvin Gentry away from the Clippers, but that's, look, are you going to leave being Doc Rivers' right-hand man with the Clippers to go, you know, coddle Kerr? Is that your goal? And Gentry wants a job, too. I mean, he's not looking to stay, so he wants another shot at a head job. It's going to be really interesting for them, and it's going to be really interesting now for the Knicks. I'm curious to see what direction they end up going, because they're looking for someone to help build a culture. You know, it's not just, hey, let's grab Lionel Hollins or somebody who's a good coach. It's somebody who's got to philosophically mesh with Phil to help build a culture, and it's going to be interesting to see what direction they go. I mean, who's out there that they like? Are they willing to go so far as to go talk to Derek Fisher?
Wow. I would see, this is the question that I would have for both of these jobs, the Knicks and Lakers. And I'm curious, if you were fill in the blank candidate and both of these teams were staring down at you and offering, and we've talked about this, but now with the Warriors out and other teams like the Pistons out, I'm going to assume that the Jazz aren't in this conversation, but would it be what the Lakers are offering? Would it be what the Knicks are offering? And that's the big question, I think, is with the Knicks moving forward, you know, how secure are you in your job with a guy like Phil over you, and how secure is anything with the Lakers management right now?
Yeah, it'd be an interesting, assuming both offers were equal, you'd be sitting there going, which management team do I trust more?
Yeah.
That's a really good question.
Do you have any? I would, you know.
I don't know. I honestly, I mean.
I go Lakers mainly because of the draft pick, but I also think that there's an expiration on Kobe Bryant, as opposed to if you bring Carmelo Anthony back, you're stuck with that. You can't get out of that. Kobe, you can tolerate Kobe for a year knowing, all right, this guy's going to go away at some point.
Yeah, the other part of that is Mitch Kupchak knows what he's doing. And Phil may be good at this job. He may be able to keep James Dolan at bay, but right. I think there's still a better track record with what Mitch has done. And frankly, you know, with all the stuff, we'll call it, that Jim Buss takes. Look, that Dwight Howard move with everybody that backfired, that was a great pull. That was a great trade. It just didn't work out. But that, if he, you know, you pull another one of those and you got something.
Yeah, you're right. And that's a huge trust factor right there. We look to see how these two positions get full, you know, get filled down the line. And it's going to be interesting, as you said, where plan C and maybe even D fill in for both of these teams. As far as the stuff on the court, we have both the Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs cruising on a Wednesday night. Now, granted, for the Heat, it was a little bit tighter, but overall, the series, they move by the Nets 4-1, same count as the Spurs handle the Blazers, even without barely anything from Tony Parker. This was no contest right now. Both teams looking pretty good so far.
Yeah, Miami definitely is the class of the East. It's not even close. And I think my question now becomes, look, the Nets present some issues because of their length, because they're veterans. They challenge you a little bit. And if it's the Pacers, and I have no idea what the Pacers are going to do, but assuming it's the Pacers in the next round, you get by them. I mean, they're designed to beat you. They cause you some problems. But have the Heat really been tested? Because whoever comes out of the West, I mean, if you, I don't know if you've done this, where, and I certainly have, though, where you watch the two games back to back. You watch an East game, then a West game in the playoffs.
Yes.
The level of play jumps so dramatically. It's like whoever's coming out of the West, I think, is honestly the favorite. It's just, not only are they going to be battle tested, and it's not to knock the Heat. I'm not sure that this Heat team is as good as last year's, but the level of play right now needed to succeed in the West, Portland could potentially win the East. I mean, they're maybe they don't get by the Heat, but they're much closer than anybody else.
So I think right now we have to look at, do you overextend yourself winning the West? Because this isn't the Pacers winning the East, right? It wouldn't be the Nets winning the East. This is a team in Miami who's won two straight. They've been to three straight finals. I understand what you're saying. I think that's a very valid point that the Heat haven't been tested. The only thing I would add in, though, is they have won and they've shown that they can win in the postseason. So every other team, I would be concerned about that. With the Heat, not so much.
Yeah, I'm not. First off, you're right there. And by the way, they have that, what's his name, LeBron James guy.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So, yeah, they have that trump card because they've been there. But I don't mean tested in the sense that I don't trust them. But I think, you know, you've got to get sharpened. And I think whoever comes out of the West is going to be, having been forced to play at a high level, will be sharper at the start of the series. And if they steal a game at the start, that could be it. So, you know, that could be enough to sway it. It's going to be really interesting to see, because I think the Western Conference Finals are going to be fascinating, and I'm not even sure who's going to be in them outside of Oklahoma City, don't you think? But I'm curious if the Clippers bounce back. You know, that was as down as I've ever seen Chris Paul. He couldn't look up at that press conference. He was devastated.
You could really tell. I mean, you could feel it. And one thing that I liked, and I understand if he were to come out and do what Doc Rivers did or what Matt Barnes did on his Instagram and just say refs, 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 refs. But, and Chris just put it all on him. And it wasn't just a half-assed blase, you know, it was my fault tonight. You could feel the emotion when he was saying that.
And he knows that he screwed up.
He
got stripped.
Just take the foul, right?
I mean, the strip by Westbrook, you know, he's done this before this season where he sees some guy coming in for the intentional foul and he kind of tries to put up the ridiculous half-court shot like the refs are going to give him the active shooting foul.
Right.
He's tried this a couple times this year, but you expose the ball to shoot it. I mean, by the definition of it, it was a mistake. Obviously, fouling the jump shooter is you can't get close enough to even you let him have the shot. I don't want to say you put your hands down, but you let him have that shot. You do not get close enough to foul him. If he beat, you know, if he knocks it down, he knocks it down. But you make him beat it that way. And I had an assistant coach today tell me from another team, tell me he would have been screaming at Westbrook.
Oh my God.
Westbrook
goodness.
Came out to take that shot, the unnecessary three that they didn't need rather than a good two.
Right.
It was a terrible shot and he got bailed out.
Exactly right. I can't even imagine if the scenario was flipped and we saw Westbrook try to make that pass or that shot and get stripped by Paul and then fouling a three-point shooter. It would have been night and day. I think the biggest concern that I would have, Kurt, for the Clippers is we know that it's going to be tight. We know it's going to be very difficult for LA to kind of pull away from this Thunder team. So with another close game, with a 1-2 point game, maybe a 2-possession game in the final minute, and you need smart execution from Chris Paul, I hate to say it, but right now, I don't know if I can trust him the 100% like I used to be able to think I could.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. I don't know that you can. And look, I think you talk about playoff experience for teams and, you know, knowing how to win and all that. I think a big part of the playoffs and the experience you gain is knowing how to deal with loss and come back. And Oklahoma City, you know, look, they blew game 4. They were up 16 in the fourth.
That's right.
They lost that game. They had a bit of a high hangover, but they didn't stop playing. They made their play shots, and they made, you know, Kevin Durant was cold, then hit some threes, and they made some great passes to Reggie Jackson, and they made plays at the end of that. You know, I think that that's the maturity of a team that's been to the finals a little bit, that has some of that moxie that I'm not, you know, the Clippers may be learning still.
One thing on Westbrook and Durant, as we see if the Thunder can, you know, really close this out here moving forward in game 6, but you know, you look at people trying to change Russell Westbrook into a traditional point, you know, change this, change it. Are we trying to change Durant into maybe being somebody who he's not, being somebody who's going to command the ball and yeah. being this aggressive. Remember when we tried to make LeBron into a 50-point-a-night guy and say, how come you can't take over a game and kill everybody from scoring? I wonder if we're asking something from Durant, because he struggled and hit big shots late, but struggled really up until the start of the fourth. Are we looking at that maybe as unrealistic?
I think so. I think he's just not – and I don't want to say he's not competitive or doesn't have the killer instinct thing, but he doesn't display it in the same way. You know, Michael set that bar. We now expect everybody, and not just in, frankly, in basketball. We expect our best players to be Jordan-esque. You know, we want them to be that Ray Lewis type of attitude in every sport. And not everybody's wired that way. And I don't think you can be very effective and a great player without doing that. You don't have to be Kobe wearing that competitiveness on your sleeve to be effective. So I don't think you can change Westbrook. I don't think you want to. If you rein him in, you lose so much in terms of the pressure he puts on another team. I think they're both starting to mature into their roles a little more. As frustrating as it is, as much as I would like Kevin Durant to run over there and rip the ball out of his hands occasionally and go, give me the thing.
Give me the damn ball. Like, Keyshawn Johnson, what's he doing?
Exactly. Maybe
he could coach Durant. All right, as we look at these two game sixes here, which one goes seven, which one ends?
I got a feeling the Clippers end. I just am not convinced how devastated they were. I don't think day-to-day the Donald Sterling debacle weighs on them, that they're, you know, not prepared because of it or something. It's just another weight that they're carrying around, you know, kind of silently. And I think it just ultimately catches up with them. I got to think OKC comes out hot. That said, honestly, that game, Oklahoma City could dominate the first 43 minutes of that game and still lose the way this series has gone.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. And I'm not kidding on the other side. I honestly have no idea what Pacers team will show up. You know, Washington doesn't play as well at home, but I got no idea. I cannot read the Pacers. No, I have no idea.
Pacers aren't the best team on the road either. I tell you, it would not shock me at all if Indiana comes out game six, they lose, and maybe even by 10, 12 points. Everybody goes back and continues his convo. Oh, Pacers, this Pacers. And then they come out in game seven. They win by 15, 20 points.
Yeah.
And they continue to baffle us. So we'll have that. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, exactly. I'm like, you know, there isn't a scenario, Eitan, that you couldn't present that I'd go, yeah, I could see that with the Pacers. Honestly, short of being abducted by aliens, I'll pretty much buy anything.
Right. Exactly right. All right, man. So we've got a lot to recap for the two game sixes, and we'll continue to keep an eye on both the Knicks, Lakers, and more off the court. For Kurt Heelan, Eitan Shander, it is the PBT Podcast, ProBasketballTalk.NBCSports.com.